Welcome to Truth News Radio Australia. It is the 8th of July on a Wednesday. You're here with myself, Joshua Jackson, and the most amazing Harold Fenton.
That's 2009, by the way.
That is 2009. And today, after the crescendo, I'll give you a rundown. Today we're going to talk about, we've got a guest. Our guest today is Ashworth Pallas from the Panacea BOCAF project, which is the Open Source Energy Project, a very, very important and exciting project that is opening up all sorts of avenues into the suppression of energy systems and you know, rebuilding some of Tesla's old stuff and other inventors' stuff. It's quite amazing, so look out for that. We're also... our lead story is Biden, the president, secretary, president?
The vice president the of vice. The United States.
The vice president.
Senator Joe Biden.
Yes.
Giving the green light to Israel to basically do whatever they must to basically pursue their own policies, whatever that may be, hint, hint.
So we've got a big show. Also, we're doing a film review. Harold's going to do a film review today, so look out for that. And that'll be in the second half of the hour. So,
and look, in this show, folks, we're actually going to talk about something that matters and something that is actually positive. It's free energy. So a little bit different to some of our foci on this show. And Josh will be conducting the interview with Ashworth Pallas. And this is our chance to actually contribute something positive rather than just be complaining all the time.
On the line, we've got Ashworth Pallas from the Panacea BOCAF project. How are you, Ashworth?
G'day, Josh. How are you, guys? Always a pleasure to catch up.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, look, we've been hearing some exciting news. It's been a while since you've been on the show.
Actually, just before we start on that, sorry guys, I just think for our listeners who maybe haven't heard of Panacea BOCAF and have no idea what we're talking about, can we just give a really quick roundup of what it is and what it's all about? Just imagine you're talking to someone from Mars who knows absolutely nothing about it, because we have to assume that our audience might know absolutely nothing about this topic.
Good idea.
No worries. Okay, so you want me to start with that intro?
Yeah, just let us know what Panacea is about, yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, Panacea is basically a non-profit educational organization which deals with the training, consultation, protection, and research into suppressed and alternative energy technology. We also promote the training and research into sustainable development, specifically involving the usage of the available alternatives to the current polluting industrial industries. So we actually do a variety of stuff. We even deal with issues of social reform and do some activism, but primarily at the moment we're focusing on research, R&D research, into suppressed and alternative energy technology.
Oh, that's awesome. And one of the projects you have been working with, I know, is the different sorts of energy systems working directly with engines to get some sort of work going with these suppressed energies. Can you let us know a little bit about the one of them, which is the GEAT engine that you guys have been pretty heavily working with?
Okay, yeah, we've got a few projects underway at the moment, few open source ones that deal with the internal combustion engine or engine projects, and just the GEAT one's very interesting. We're very excited to report that we've recently achieved a 100% improvement by using this system, or double the gas mileage. And this was a replication of one of our engineers, Leo, over in Asia, who reproduced the system on his diesel, and he got three times the fuel economy. Now, This GEET system, which is an acronym standing for Global Environmental Energy Technology, it's an easy, low-cost modification that can be retrofitted to all the existing generators or trucks, boats, even helicopters, but basically anywhere where you've got a internal combustion engine.
I've actually seen online a helicopter converted, folks, using this GEET. There's helicopters flying in France somewhere.
Yeah, you wouldn't get me inside it, but it is still good proof of principle there. They've gone insane, so to speak, with the technology in France. They've spun many variants of it. The city council is even using it in France at the moment to save the taxpayer money on fuel and cut pollution. And they've had it very fluently operating for about 4 years at least in the agricultural machinery, tractors, farm machinery, cars, pretty much anywhere where you've got an internal combustion engine.
That's stunning. And one thing that I'm really excited about is this whole concept of open source energy, getting rid of this patent pending and this patent system, which really this sort of IP stuff, which really constricts invention and making things better. I just think having an open source, a bunch of engineers that are willing to open source all their IP is just stunning. I just think it's a really big push ahead in with humanity.
Yeah, I think we spoke about this last time that we were we did an interview. We basically went over the pros and cons, and we dispelled the myth about people, who thought open sourcing their invention would basically enable them to receive no remuneration or no return capital back, and we dispelled that myth by showing the real-life case of the guy called Aussie Freedom, who open-sourced a very poor booster design, a hydroxy booster design, and he received up to $3 million per year in book sales. So you can license your technology out, still protect your intellectual property, and do it as an open-source method. In fact, Panacea is probably the first non-profit organization to even get someone who even has a patent to open source their knowledge out, and we've put that in our hydroxy course. So even if you've got a patent on something, you can still open source it out and tell people how to do it. It still reproduces it, helps get the awareness of it out there, and someone has already done that with us with their hydroxy booster technology, and that's contained in one of our hydroxy courses on our online uni.
Ashworth, what's new in your system? I hear you've in your courses and stuff. I hear you've really jumped leaps and bounds since last time we spoke.
Yeah, we've achieved a lot of grassroots work as far as getting this technology, this suppressed technology, out there. Recently we attended Australia's biggest green festival, Greenfest, and this was up in Brisbane at the Botanical Gardens, and we went there in order to educate the public and government to the superior pollution cutting and energy saving technology that we've got and that we teach and open source out. And basically we went to jump all the government and get them on record with using this technology to not only cut pollution but save the taxpayer money on council applications. And also we built a solid case for a rebate scheme to say, look, this based on the caliber of this information, it warrants a rebate scheme to encourage people to retrofit this technology to their cars to cut the carbon footprint. And we even gave some ideas out for people to start retrofitting garages. Now, they've actually done that based on our advice, and we're just about to go and do a burn-in and a test of one of the systems tomorrow. Someone's actually going to start the first retrofitting garage in Brisbane, in Australia, that can retrofit these suppressed energy technologies at low cost. And we're going to start putting after some exhaust gas analysis and fuel economy tests, we're going to, on paper, we're going to actually send this and bring the press in and get the government on record and push for a rebate scheme and for them to use it to start saving the taxpayer money.
Just a quick question there on the technologies. Is this particular technology you're talking about the same as the GEET technology, or is this a separate technology?
This is everything from the hydroxy technology to the GEET technology, and the spin-offs to the GEET too, though. But I must mention, guys, that we've recently done install videos on these, so if people go to our channel on YouTube, they can find all the manner of these GEET spin-offs and the GEET and the hydroxy. But
we'll put a link to that in our show notes, folks.
Yeah, great. Now, there is the GreenFest production. We did our own video production, which shows you the host of technologies. And we had everything from the GEET to the spin-off of the GEETs, which can go on tractors and farm machinery. You've got various variants of the GEET.
Let's just take a step back now for the listeners, the new listeners, because we get new listeners every day.
Terrific.
The GEET. And the GEET system, let's just talk about what that is. I mean, from what I know, it is a system that basically you put half fuel and half whatever else, water, gherkin juice, urine, whatever you want. And it then uses a whole heap of different systems to equal. So it uses magnetism and transfer of energy to then create a plasma you're probably better at explaining this afterwards.
Yeah, that was close, but that's what Van Gogh said about his ear. Now,
right, good point.
That's all right. They'll probably edit that out. They never like my jokes, but anyway.
No, we'll leave that one in.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. Well, I got one in for a change. All right. Well, basically, that was, what you're doing with the GEET is basically a fuel processor. Like you said at the start, you can put a whole manner of things in, mainly things that have got a hydrocarbon chain in them, and you can mix them with water if you want, or, urine, gherkin juice. When we mention urine or gherkin juice, it's actually having something in the water to act as an electrolyte, which helps a reaction. Now, the GEET is actually a fuel reformer. So that's why you can put a mixture of stuff in to, say, the fuel tank or the bubbler, and it basically gets reformed into a combustible, usable gas. Now,
plasma, isn't it?
Well, the plasma helps reform, yes. But the simple way to explain how it happens is the GEET reaction chamber. It is basically a self-generating plasma. Now, that is because you've got hot and cold going in opposite, colliding in opposite directions, and you've got a steel metal reactor rod. And the sum of all those combined actually creates the self-generating plasma. Now, when the vapors, because whatever you put in your fuel tank or bubbler, it's got to go into a vapor first before it hits the reactor. Now, when it goes through the reaction chamber, it gets reformed. Now, when I say reformed, I mean changed into combustible, usable gas. So if you put salt water in there, as one of our engineers recently did overseas, and he got three times the fuel economy. If you put salt water in the bubbler, the vapors of that don't become salt water after they go through the reaction chamber. They become the combustible, usable gas. Now, the salt's only an electrolyte, just like the stuff in your urine is an electrolyte as well.
I can assume from what you're saying that water on its own isn't particularly good. Distilled water obviously wouldn't be good.
It will work. You can basically, if you just want to help the reaction along, you can use anything from vinegar in the water or plain water will work just fine.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. So what does the vinegar do to help in that case?
The vinegar is acting as an electrolyte.
That's what you were saying before, right? Yeah.
And electric light, electrolyte basically gives the transfer of energy a better go, right?
Well, yeah, that's a simple way to put it. It'll help create a better reaction. And with the GEAT fuel processor, which is a very low-cost, easy retrofitting modification, you've basically got three metal pipes and a, you know, one of them being a steel reactor rod. Now, with the GEAT fuel processor, basically the most savings or energy or the best reaction you will get is by using things like thick waste oils, things with a very thick hydrocarbon chain. For example, if you used engine waste oil, you would get a lot of energy out of that because it's got a very thick, long hydrocarbon chain. As opposed to if you put propane in, propane's a very short chain. So but basically you can go 90% water and about 10% diesel or petrol and still get a phenomenal increase in fuel economy.
Folks, I've seen these things run.
Pollution cutting.
Pollution cutting. Very, very important in this world. I mean, I just think, like, why have we still got cars spewing out carbon monoxide, which I'm breathing in these cities full of smog? It's absolutely obscene when we're talking on amazing computers and such phenomenal technology, tiny, minuscule mobile phones, and we're still running engines that are so basic. They've got little computers in them and here and there, folks, but at the end of the day, our engines are absolutely like dinosaurs.
Look, can I just can I highlight something? Sorry to butt in, but I just want to say one thing just for dramatic impact. And on this show, we really try to put things into the starkest possible outline so people can see what is going on and how they've been deceived. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but the technology that you and many other people around the world have collaborated on and invented will lead to one day that you'll be able to fill your tank up with water and you'll be able to drive a car, a tractor, an airplane, a helicopter, a submarine on water. Correct? Yes or no?
Correct. Already been done.
Now, we currently have wars that have killed hundreds of thousands of people at a conservative estimate. Countries have been invaded all on the basis of this geopolitical wrangling over oil. We also have massive a new bureaucratic system based on taxing our carbon footprint, based on the idea that hydrocarbon fuels are evil pollutants. And we have all of these incredibly costly... CO2 gas being the main culprit, as they claim. Now, we also have incredibly costly technologies, such as clean coal, so-called, which are still using the same method of getting energy out of carbon, but at a huge cost to try and sequester the carbon dioxide. And what you're saying is there's a technology here that's been completely ignored by all of the major players, governments, corporations, that could solve all of these problems. We wouldn't have to have the carbon emissions trading scheme anymore. We could simply move to a cheaper, more efficient, and just amazing technology if they would put 1/100th of the budget of research and funding into that they do for all these other schemes like nuclear and clean coal and gas, etc., etc.
That's 100% accurate. And we made a big, shout about this at the Greenfest Festival, where we showed examples about how the dyno and emissions test that was performed on our GEAT technology in France showed that the guy produced, with the GEAT modification, 0.1% CO2 as opposed to 8.6. Now, 0.1. Now, we showed that there was nothing that the government had in its rebate scheme or in its climate change protection scheme or anything that could cut the pollution as significantly as the GEET technology. Now, we can take all the pollution out of Australia, even Sydney, where you guys need it most because of all the smog down there. And I'm happy to report as a first in Australia that the non-profit org has been granted by the inventor Paul Pantone the blessing to start the GEET School Australia. So we will be down in Sydney soon, my friend, and we're going to teach everyone how to do that down in Sydney, and we're going to make sure that there's public pressure is created to create endorsements, rebates, or even carbon credits to help people down there retrofit this technology to their vehicle to cut the carbon footprint. And there's nothing in the world that could compare to cutting pollution and saving energy like the GEET technology. Yet you won't be able to learn that at any school. You won't be able to learn that at any university. In fact, a funny story.
Keep on going.
I was just going to say, a funny story was we had the head engineer at Greenfest. Well, he was, you know, one of the main big speakers. Come around and look at our store. And he turned around and he basically started looking at all this stuff. And I started explaining it to him, and it was such a paradigm shift, he couldn't get his head around it. And I showed it working, and he turned around and simply said, "That's not possible." And he simply stormed off. That was only after I, you know, made some jokes about him. If he knew so much about what he was talking about, how come he can't reproduce what we are? But the point is that, you know, all these technologies that we've mentioned that can cut the carbon footprint better than other, none of them are, you know, are basically taught in any faculty or even understood. So that's why you really do need an organisation like us in Australia to really push the envelope, come in, get politicians on record, and just start the non-profit training and consultation of them.
Could you just reel off the main website that you guys run?
Yeah, okay. That'd be the main nonprofit organization's website is at Panacea. That's Panacea -bocaf.org, and all technical instructions on the reproduction of these devices can be found at PanaceaUniversity.org. So that's for mainly engineers, but if you go and put our PanaceaUniversity.org in YouTube, you'll see a whole host of instructional and non-profit training videos that will get you started on all these technologies with some very fluent background into them as well.
And folks, that's what it's all about. You know, getting out there and doing it yourself, getting into your garage and learning and collaborating with other engineers. Even if you've got a little bit of interest in, you know, you haven't got an engineering background, but you've got a fascination with electronics and you did your little Dick Smith electronics kits as a kid, you know, get back into it. You know, really start helping each other out. And these guys are just, you know, they're fantastic all around the world. They're based as well, which is really good. And when we talk about pollution also, folks, I mean, you know, everyone is obsessed with CO2, and I think it's ridiculous to call CO2 a pollution because it's not really a pollutant. It's just a normal gas. But we've got other gases, monoxide poisoning. We've got vast arrays of heavy metals and all sorts going into the atmospheres and the lungs that we breathe. We have oil spills and slicks into the ocean from the vast amount. We then get nuclear pollution. From the spent rods. It goes on and on, and it's so important to really help out these sort of movements, because
Think about water, folks. Just think about the beauty of this. I think there is an absolute poetry in the fact that water is the most essential molecule for life, and now we have found out that not only is water the most important molecule for life, it's also potentially the most important molecule as a fuel. And when it breaks and when it's split into hydrogen and oxygen and then recombined, the waste product is water, a life-giving nutrient. So the waste product of this technology is water itself. It's incredibly beautiful. I just find the whole thing technologically
symbiotic. Yeah,
just it's really appealing.
Well, that was a good point that Josh made. I mean, about the hypocrisy of the CO2. I mean, what is correct to say, I think, in that whole issue, and I'll get to the water that you were talking about too.
No worries.
Well, the thing to say, that basically emissions are harmful, and regardless, we are better off without them. But, I mean, you know, the obviously the carbon monoxide and the NOx, you know, and the hydrocarbons, I mean, which attack the liver and cause cancer, are going to be a lot more tangibly harmful than CO2, which every living species on the planet needs to survive. But it's funny how, you know, at the moment Al Gore is being sued by over 30,000 scientists for fraud. And we've actually got a page with a whole lot of background on global warming propaganda, and we actually collect legal petitions to help the issue, and we've got up to 3,000 petitions so far. So if people go to the activism part of the website, that they'll be able to see a whole host of evidence on the hypocrisy of global warming. But let's not forget that emissions are harmful. We are better off without them. Now, that the plus is with the GEET technology is that you not only get rid of the pollution, like, for example, the NOx and the carbon monoxide and the hydrocarbons, all the harmful ones, but you do save fuel. You do get better fuel economy.
And that's what, at the end of the day, that's what the market wants. I mean, a free market wants cheaper things. They want they don't want to go around fighting wars of aggression for resources. They want a better, healthier lifestyle, and they want it cheaper. And this is everything that that you guys aim to generate. Now, with the GEET, let's just talk about the inventor Paul Pantone for a minute. Now, when people search for him, there has been some controversy with him in the past, where he was thrown into he was basically kidnapped and thrown in jail. I mean, I call it kidnapping, but other people call it police arresting them. But tell us a little bit about that, and just to clear that situation up for the people.
Okay, well basically the good news is he's finally out, and he's in the process of getting back on his feet. He did run into some interference, or energy suppression. And the good news is he's out now, still needs to get back on his feet, though. We're helping with getting, collecting a few donations to help him out, and, working in conjunction with him to start the GEET School Australia. But the background is basically it's widely accepted that he suffered as due to result of wrongful incarceration, and he was incarcerated on dubious charges in January 2006, and he was kept incarcerated for longer than he was supposed to be, and longer than the sentence he would have served if stuck. And in the process, they gave him Hep C inside. He broke his toe. That never healed properly. They denied him adequate medical treatment. He lost all his teeth. And, it reads like a Men in Black comic book. So
They put him into a nut house, folks. He was pretty much could have been a pincushion for anything that they shoved in him.
Well, the funny part is he's got the answer. Well, it's not really funny. Just being sarcastic, I mean, he's got the answer to take 90% of the pollution out of the planet. So, and that's what every big political campaign and, every politician at the moment is riding the pollution and the carbon footprint gravy train. And he's the guy that smokes anything they can come up with. And I mean anything. Even the proposed fuel standards as far as 2016 or et cetera, he can smoke them even in 2016 now, as in today. In fact, the recent replication we did, which you can see on one of our YouTube videos on our channel, with the 100% improvement or double the fuel mileage. I mean, we worked that out. That's about everyone being able to reproduce that is about $1 trillion out of the oil economy. But the amount of pollution taken out speaks for itself. And you can't match that with any other technology in the world.
Absolutely. Ashruth, can we have you on the show more regularly in the future? I'd be really good if we could get you on every couple of months.
Oh, I'd be honored to work with you guys, mate. I'm sorry I've been so busy, Chav. I've been meaning to catch up with you guys, but we hope to be able to come down and see you guys down in Sydney very soon with
Great.
the replication and the Geat School. So,
because we really want to blast this information right into the stratosphere of cyberspace.
It is one of the most important parts of this fight against global tyranny, against the massive build up of this New World Order mega infrastructure of bureaucracy that's building up around us. It is all based on the revenues of energy and the revenues of other industrial military, industrial medical, and industrial energy sectors.
Josh, can I just... Oh, sorry, mate. I just wanted to point out, when you were saying that, what's related is that we are about equalizing all that power. And don't be put off that just because we mention about bringing all this energy-saving technology down there and getting governments to endorse it and use it and help it fit to manage what we have at the moment, that Panacea is still about doing research and development into open-source, free energy, self-running devices. And we intend to create, to do that in order to assimilate self-sufficient communities where with vertical farming, their own free energy, home and transport, and we're going to do that open source. So, we the principal motivation behind our organisation is, well, that's the final step. That's what we do with a lot of our grants. We do the energy saving stuff, but we are working towards equalising that power. Sorry, mate.
A lot of people talk about getting off the grid, and this is, to me, what better way to get off the grid than to use this kind of technology?
So. Well, there is technology that can do that right now, but creating public access to that hasn't been as easy. I think our organisation is very, very unique in the fact that we want to wake people up to the technology that's possible, validate it in our own unique way from our R&D Senate concept. We want to create our own research institute, bring in, create security for the inventors, because as we know, there's a lot more devices out there that our listeners out there would not be aware of. And we're involved in the R&D of some of these, and we're going to be bringing some of them down to Sydney when we come down and see you guys as well.
Fantastic. And one last thing I just wanted to ask you about was this replication of the Tesla, the long-lost Tesla technologies of transmitting energy wirelessly. Have you guys rebuilt any of that stuff?
Yeah, there is a lot of replications now of, Tesla-inspired radiant energy methods, and in particular we have applied it to some battery charging technology which enables you to operate a fan or a light whilst you charge batteries at the same time. You can't do that conventionally in any other method. I'd have to turn back the clock to mention some background for the first time viewers, because not many people realize that Tesla's technologies was reproduced in the EV Grey Motor system. Now, which is what they call radiant energy or cold electricity, which is why you can see photos of the guy lighting up the light bulb underwater. So, and this was done in the 70s. Now, at the moment, modern engineers who have reproduced Tesla's wireless system, though, principally two individuals called Eric Dollard and Constantine Mayol. Now, he's a German engineer, and he works with the scalar waves and the wireless power. He's produced wireless power using Tesla's wireless power transmitter, except they tried to shut him down by putting all these fines on him, saying that he produces what they call electrosmog, even though his wireless power transmitter is like nowhere in the vicinity of a mobile phone. So that was one of the hypocrisy things they used to try and shut him down.
And this is the more and more bureaucracy we get around us, folks. The more and more we get, we let government put more and more laws in, the more our chances of freedom get shut down, because they just use crap things like that. Just these fines of total tyranny of, Oh, electrosmog. Some ridiculous, erroneous concept. And then slap you with fines to shut you down. I mean, this is how it is all controlled. And when people talk about capitalism, it's not capitalism. It's the mixture of big business and big government together in bed, using the government's violence, the government as the violent arm of the corporation.
Yeah, well, you know, the good news is that Mayo, you can get some of Mayo's devices, educational devices, and he does a whole lot of lectures explaining the science behind his systems. You can see that on our website. We've got a page on Tesla and Eric Dollard. Eric Dollard's the other guy, and he is basically, he's written some great books as well, along with, you know, other great individuals in the field like Jerry Vestalos, and yeah, there's a whole host of guys I could basically go on about, but these guys have laid some pretty good groundwork. And what we feel is once we start getting you know, our organization moving towards research and development center, we're going to get these guys in and create more awareness and try and get more resources and more security by being in the public eye. I really think that's the pinnacle of everything. All these guys cannot operate independently. We really need to unify them and consolidate them into a public landmark that's specifically designed to the protection, R&D, and promotion of alternative and suppressed energy technology. And I think once you create a public landmark like a research and development center, half of the social reform is already created, because the public know why the center was created and what goes on there. Research and development.
Absolutely.
And protection into this sort of technology.
The only thing I could say to that is it's important not to centralize too much, because then the head can be cut off of one beast. And that's the beauty of this sort of anarchic system of the internet, using this open source style of everyone sort of collaborating and just it not being, you know, in control. And I know what you're saying, and it's sort of dissimilar to what, you know, you're not building, you know, one-headed thing here that can
be
cut off.
No. It's actually unifying all the people, because basically no one knows about this stuff, and that's why they get away with it. But if you had an institute that was completely independent of government, and was just basically there to advance the mainstream faculties and create awareness and validation of this stuff. I mean, once the public know what is possible, it's impossible for the government to suppress it, because they will be demanding to their government, why are we paying, you know, through the nose at the pump, when this guy's got a device which doesn't even need fuel? And if they know about that, if we validate this in a public landmark, I think it's going to be increasingly difficult for these guys. Now, we've got a few devices in Australia, actually, that we really do need to validate, and which I can tell you from some inside knowledge that they are viable and they do work. And one of the guys has got this generator up in Cairns, Lutec. Now, you can do your research on lutec.com.au, and they've got a self-running generator up there in Cairns, and it's been a very long, hard road for them. There's a whole host of other guys that are really, well, basically, they need a center like that to validate their science, because once you create consumer awareness and demand, it is impossible for anyone to cover it up.
Ashworth, throw out that website again, and where people can get in contact with your organisation.
Okay, you can see us at Panacea. That's PanaceaBocaf.org. And if you put that address in YouTube, you'll get a whole host of our educational videos and background on a lot of this stuff. For the engineers who want to technically reproduce this stuff, you can find all the technical instructions on our open source technology at panaceauniversity.org. Now, just before this interview, I just want to mention we're working on our one of our documentaries on energy suppression, and just to give people an indication how bad the problem is, because the documentary was on energy suppression now, and how much we really do need a center in the public eye to educate the public and validate and protect it. Our first part of the documentary that we were editing so far goes for 8 hours. All right? That is an 8 hour long of cases, and we're on to the second part now. So that's
Far
how
out.
much of a problem. Yeah, 8 hours of subject matter.
Now, I'd just like you to tell the audience that you will never commit suicide or anything like that. You're a very healthy young man that's very happy with his life.
I'm very healthy, mate. I eat two superfoods for breakfast: goji berries and spirulina. It tastes like absolute crap, but it's good for you. And I frequent the gym. I drink a lot of alkaline water. I get a lot of good sleep, and
Mate, you're on it.
healthy.
That's perfect. Beautiful. And Ashworth Palace, thank you so much for the most virtuous work that you do, and keep up the good work. We'll have to have you on the show again. Ladies and gentlemen, Ashworth Palace.
When you're sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Good evening. I would like to report on the state of our war against the American people. We're mounting a sustained campaign to crack down on every American and every person of every faith and every nation and to bring them to justice. All missions are being executed according to plan, without warning or provocation. Americans are being swept up in an international dragnet. Thousands of FBI agents are on the trail of other citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and murder and prejudice. America's strong, strong, strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
Welcome to the news. You are the things we know.
We
won't
have
you stand up for truth?
Or
would you turn away to heaven?
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
You are the things we know. Would you stand up for truth? Or would you turn away to? And then what if you saw all of the things that's wrong? Would you stand tall and strong? Or would you turn it away?
I see a message from the government. Like every day, I watch it and listen and call them all suckers. They wanted me about Osama or whatever. Picture me buying the scam, I said never. You in tune to a hard truth, soldier spitting. I stay committed, gives a f*** to die, I lose commission. It's all a part of fighting devil state mind control. And all about the battle for your body, mind, and soul. And now I'm hoping you don't close your mind so they shape you. Don't forget they made us slaves, gave us AIDS and raped us. Another push season mean another war for profit. All in secret so the public never seek to stop it. The Illuminati, 666, all connected. Stole the votes, they control the race and take elections. It's the Skull and Bones Freemason Kill Committee. See the dragon getting shittier in every city.
What would you do if you
knew
all the things we know? Would you stand up for truth? Or would you turn away to? And then what if you saw all of the things that's wrong? Would you stand tall?
Ask yourself who's the one with the most to gain. 4-9-11 motherfuckers couldn't stand his name. Now even niggas waving flags like they lost their mind. Everybody got opinions but don't know the time. Cause America's been took, it's plain to see. The oldest trick in the book is making enemy. A phony evil so the government can do its dirt and take away your freedom, lock and load, beat and search. Ain't nothing changed but more colored people locked in prison. These pigs still beat us but it seems we forgetting. But I remember 4 September how these devils do it.
Giuliani, ask Diallo how he doing. We in the streets, holla jail to the thief. Follow, waving flags, bring these dragons to their knees. Oil, blood, money, make these killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying never told. It's all a part of playing God, so you think we need him. While being Ashcroft, take away your rights to freedom. Bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, cause it's major.
What would you do if you do?
Why my records always come the same? Keep it real, ain't no fillers, motherfucker blingin'. Mine eyes seen the gory of the coming of the beast. So every story, every word I'm saying, peace. See, you could witness the Illuminati body count. Don't be surprised, these is devils that I'm talking about. You think a couple thousand lies mean shit to killers? Swear to God, we the ones, ain't no villains. Or any other word they think to demonize a country. Ain't no terror threat unless approval rating slumping. So I'ma say it for the record, we the ones that planned it. Ain't no other country took a part, I had their hand in. Just a way to keep you scary so you think you need them. Praising Bush, why that killer take away your freedom? How many of us got discovered but ignore the symptoms? Niggas talking loud but ain't nobody saying shit. And with the Fourth Amendment gone, eyes are on the first. That's why I'm spitting cyanide each and every verse. I see the Carlisle Group and Harris bank accounts. I see them plead the Fifth each and every session now. And while Reichstag burns, see the public buy it. I see the profiling, see the media's compliance. War's good for business, see the vicious make a savior. Hope you understand the time, brother, cause it's major.
Understand symbolism, Nazi fascist symbolism. You will notice on each side of the presidential podium, two interesting, perhaps 5 foot high symbols.
Hey, another good artist taking on some of the heavy topics.
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing piece of rap there. I love it.
Yeah, it goes on for another couple of minutes. So.
What's the title of that? New World Order rap, is it?
No, it's What Would You Do?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Someone's just put that on there.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, welcome back to segment two. Welcome, world. Welcome, Josh. Welcome, Harrowood.
So, now one of the big stories out today.
Well, I selected this as the top story of the night. Now, Josh doesn't necessarily always agree. He doesn't think it's that important. But, now, here's why I think it's important.
Okay.
And I will, and you have the right of reply. Okay. But here's why I claim the Biden story is extremely important. One of the most important factors in this is how the mainstream deals with it. And what we've seen, the mainstream has all but ignored it. Yes, it was reported in the New York Times. Yes, it has been in a couple of newspapers. I didn't hear a peep about it on the news. I'm sure it hasn't been on the television.
No, Michael Jackson's taken up all that space.
Yeah, and we could spend the rest of the show talking about that, but let's stop right there. Okay. Now, Joe Biden is the Vice President of the United States. Historically, the Vice President of the United States has a huge importance in terms of policy. Look at Dick Cheney. Look at George Bush Sr. in the Reagan administration. Look at Lyndon B. Johnson, who was the successor to Kennedy, who was the vice president. We know from many statements that Joe Biden is a hawk to the Obama dove. Joe Biden has what they often say, put his foot in it, and that's a totally rubbish way of describing it. Okay, that's a spin way of describing it. They say, oh, he clumsily said this, or you know, he put his foot in it. No, he's a mouthpiece for the other arm of American diplomacy. And when I say diplomacy, I'm using the term highly ironically. For America, in its current militaristic phase of its empire, diplomacy merely means threats. That's what they call diplomacy, and they've been talking about diplomacy in regard to Iran now for ever since 9/11, and it's always been threat followed by some sort of conciliatory statement. Followed by threat. There's been continuous threats from Israel, and the Bush administration did nothing to really caution or prevent Israel from, you know, having a free rein. But we always thought, and we were led to believe, that the change of administration was to bring about a change of policy. We've had a huge amount of talk on the news that Obama brings a change of policy. And there's been all this talk about Iran and a new policy towards Iran. But the interview, which we'll play for you in a minute, if you can get that tab up there on Firefox, Josh, we will play for you the interview, and you can decide for yourself. Because once you've listened to this, the glove, you'll realize the illusion is gone, okay? The pretense is over. This administration is every bit as hawkish towards Iran as the previous administration, and I would say even more so.
Well, because it's, folks, this is the paradigm that we're trying to lock down. It is not about the administration. The administration is just another head on this two-headed, one-bodied monster. The monster is the military complexes in bed with the government, and these international banking elite wanting to be in control of the military, of empire, and I mean that's basically what we're talking about. We're not an administration doesn't change anything. It does not change anything. The baton is just passed. And it's happened over and over again throughout history. Whatever new administration comes in, they just take the batons, break all the lies, the promises they made during the election, and just keep on going. Now, let's just play it.
Let me turn to Iran. We're 3 weeks out from their election. Yeah. Do you have any doubt it was stolen?
Well, look, what I don't want to do is play into the hands of the Supreme Leader and Ahmadinejad, like they're blaming the British now, you know, that the reason why there was unrest is outside influence.
They're saying they have confessions from a former saying that.
Well, you know, they say a lot of things. That's simply not true. I think the dust hasn't settled yet.
Still, in terms 3 weeks
of,
ago.
Well, no. Well, here's what I think. I mean, I think it's clear that the consequences of the way the election was conducted and the way that the election was declared, who was declared a winner and how, is going to have a rippling effect. What that effect will be, I don't know. I think we have to wait to see how this settles out and before we can make a judgment.
But there's no doubt now that they responded violently.
Oh, there is no doubt about that. There is no. The whole world saw it, and it is. It's. We have to acknowledge.
Let's have a look when there was campaigns in America, there was massive violence against reporters, against all sorts of people that were demonstrating.
Thousands of people were arrested. Many people were assaulted in Minnesota, in the Republican convention there. In Minneapolis. Yeah. Indeed, it's a very good point. Thanks for bringing that up, Josh.
You know, and they're talking about, oh, the violence against the protesters in Iran, you know.
Well, yes, there were some killings, but I'd just like to point out the video there that we're watching, I've seen that one replayed over and over again. That's about the only one, that's the only piece of footage that they've got, and that is one particular person who was actually shot. I'm just pointing that out, is that that one piece of footage has been reused many, many times. Okay, please continue.
As a free and sovereign nation, that we abhor the violence that took place. We think it was inappropriate, the way in which they treated those protesters. And so there's no question, we and the rest of the world looked at them and said, my lord, this is not the
way. But how do you respond to critics who say the United States should have come out forcefully right away and said this is wrong, stop it, and they say that would have made a difference?
Well, I don't, I think the president was absolutely
pitch perfect.
Can you
just pause it there for a second, Josh? I really want to point out here, you mustn't listen to these with a naive mind. Realize that the reporter there, Stephanopoulos his name is leading the tone of this interview. The reporter is the one pressuring the vice president. You know, don't you think we should have been more? Don't you think we should be tougher? Don't you think we should be doing this? Shouldn't we be, you know? This is coming from the mass media.
Yeah.
And this is what we continually see is this, and this is why I'm reporting on this. This is why we're making it a feature of this story. You've got to see how the mass media are working as part of the policy arm of the government. And you watch an interview and you think, oh, it's just the interviewer asking questions. No, they're both involved in creating an impression.
It's like the false questions they ask in Parliament. You know, they get up and they prime a minister with a question, wanting the answer that they want. So, you know, that very good point.
Thank you.
I think the president did it exactly the right way. I think the president did not allow us to be used as the scapegoat.
Reports that you were arguing for a more forceful response earlier.
Well, I think the president did it exactly right. I think he was correct.
And going forward, what next? What should the strategy be right now?
Well, look, the Iranian government has a choice. They either choose greater isolation and from the whole world, or they decide to take a rightful place in the in civilized big great nations. That's the path they have to choose.
Haven't they already shown evidence in the last few weeks of what their choice is?
Well, they have
again another
in terms
leading
of the
statement.
Way they conducted the election, question. But they haven't in terms of whether the real key issues to now are they going to continue the nuclear program? Are they going to be braced by what happened? Is this going to alter their behavior internally or externally? Look, responses that they saw on the street in any country have consequences. It's hard to predict what those consequences will
be. What are the consequences for the U.S. relationship? I mean, the president has said he wants to meet with the Iranians over the nuclear program through the P5, but how do you engage with the Iranians now without breaking faith with those reformers?
Well, the way you do it is if they choose to meet with the P5, under the conditions the P5 have laid out, it means they begin to change course. And it means that the protesters probably had some impact on the behavior of an administration that that they don't like at all. And
now, when there's protests in this country, the government just say, no, they don't make a difference. Protesters, that we don't listen to protesters. They're a minority. Like, we had that massive anti-war rally, which was hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, you know,
it was hundreds of thousands.
It was hundreds of thousands.
I mean, it was several hundred thousand in Sydney. Yes.
It was grannies and people that really they when we interviewed them, they had not, you know, come out for a demo ever in their life. And old grannies, you know, and saying, you know, but we all decided to come out because this is that important. Then the government says, it doesn't matter. We're still going to go into Iraq because those people are just, you know, they're a minority. Even though it was hundreds of thousands.
Indeed, thanks.
And I believe that means there's consequences to that. Now, if they in fact decide to shut out the rest of the world, clamp down, further isolation, I think that takes them down a very different path.
How do you respond to those who say that it's the United States now that should hit the pause button? There should be a cause correction, and we shouldn't rush to sit down.
Well, we're not. We are not rushing to sit down. As I said to you, we have to wait to see how this...
Hostilities. Hit the pause button is code. Code. Understand what he's saying. It means, it doesn't mean pause. It means the opposite of what he's saying. You've got to listen to the context, follow the context. What he's saying is we have been on the pause. We should now hit the fast forward and move forward to hostilities. That is really what he's saying. And it's going to come up in the next 2 minutes because he's going to move straight into the Israel section.
Because when you're on pause, folks, when you hit the pause button, you start playing.
Sort of settles out. And there's already an offer laid out there by the permanent five plus one to say we're prepared to sit down and negotiate with you relative to your nuclear program. And so the ball's in their court.
When I saw President Ahmadinejad back in April, his response to that was that we need to see more from the United States first. Is it fair to say now that there will be absolutely no more concessions?
Another leading statement, another leading question.
Discussions?
Sorry I keep interrupting, but he's leading. If this was a court case, you'd be objection, objection, yeah. leading.
Yeah.
Isn't it the case that you're going to do this now? Are you going to do this now? Yeah. When are you going to beat the shit out of this other country?
Folks. They're loaded questions. And this is the typical disgusting news media we have to deal with in this nation, that we need hardcore D-spinners like Harold Fenton here to really break through deception and the lies that we're being fed. Now, it is absolutely revolting and it is on and on. And meanwhile, we've got Michael Jackson being hailed as some mega amazing superstar brilliance when only months before they were calling him a disgusting pedophile, foul, freak who's all washed up. You know,
the media is leading. They are creating ideas for you to believe in.
That's right. They exactly right. They create the ideas that they want you to believe by using certain manipulation of language.
Now, we're just getting into the really juicy part of this interview now. We've had a whole lot of preparation. Your mind's been softened. Your brain's been pulverized.
You're slowly thinking, yes, attack, attack,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fair to say the position the president has laid out will not change.
But there will be engagement. If the Iranians want to come down.
If the Iranians seek to engage, we will engage.
And meanwhile, the clock is ticking with
Israel. If the Iranians respond to the offer of engagement, we will engage.
But the offer is on the table.
The offer is on the table.
And meanwhile, Prime Minister Netanyahu has made it pretty clear that he agreed with President Obama to give till the end of the year for this whole process of engagement to work. After that, he's prepared to take matters into his own hands. Is that the right approach?
Look, Israel can determine for itself as a sovereign nation what's in their interest and what they decide to do relative to Iran or anyone else.
Yeah, we're going to try diplomacy till the end of the year. Then we're going to bomb the living crap out of them.
Oh, well, we're actually going to use another country to bomb. We're going to allow Israel to do it for us.
Yeah, and it's not up for us to say anything about that.
No, I mean, Israel and America, they're pretty much one country anyway. But look, did you hear what he had to say there at the end, Harold, where he said, well, Israel's a... Is its own sovereign nation.
A sovereign nation.
They're allowed to do whatever. We're not going to stop them. Well, Iran's a sovereign nation too. Isn't it?
Indeed.
I mean, yeah, they've got a dictatorial weirdo leader too. But they all have.
We agree or not.
Whether we agree or not. They're entitled to do that. Any sovereign nation is entitled to do that. But there is no pressure from any nation that's going to alter our behavior as to how to proceed. What we believe is in the national interest of the United States, which we coincidentally believe is also in the interest of Israel and the whole world.
Now, when he said, just when he said that, there was a little tiny smile.
Well, it didn't make any sense. I've played that a few times through that statement there we just heard. He says, what we believe is in the best interests of the United States. He doesn't clarify what those interests are. You actually have to play it a few times to realize how much doublespeak is in that statement. And that's why I transcribed it. And you can see, if you go to the 911oz.com article, where I've actually transcribed what he actually said, could you possibly read it off there in the article? It's about probably the fifth paragraph down, where he says,
What we believe is the national interest of the U.S., which we coincidentally believe is also in the interest of Israel and the rest of the world.
What is it? It's a statement that has no subject.
Well, you know, it's whatever they believe. You know, and this is the thing with government, folks. It's whatever they believe.
What we believe is the national interest. Okay, yeah. Wow. What an amazing position they have.
Look, folks, if everyone had to individually pay for war... If you had to send a little check in for, let's say, the war was $7 billion and you had to send in, you know, it all had to split up between the 200 million people in America and the 21 million people in Australia. It would maybe $100 each a month, right? Well, let's say it was an optional thing. Well, maybe half of the people would say, I'm not paying for that war. I find that war disgusting. All of a sudden, that doubles the price for everyone. That's $200 a month for everyone. Okay, so what? All of a sudden, some people, you know, half of the people don't want to pay $200 a month. So all of a sudden, the people that are left are paying, you know, $800 or $1,000 a month. Then half of them would fall out because they're not paying $1,000 a month each. They would find it in their little heart to not invade another sovereign country. And then it would go all the way down to the one person left who's really wanting to invade with their, you know, but he's got a bill coming to him for $7 billion. You know, we just wouldn't have war, folks.
Excellent breakdown there. Look, let's just finish this off. There's about another minute's worth of interesting stuff there. Just hit the play again on that.
And so there are separate issues. If the Netanyahu government decides to take a course of action different than the one being pursued now, that is their sovereign right to do that. That is not our choice.
But just to be clear here, if the Israelis decide Iran is an existential threat, they have to take out the nuclear program militarily, the United States will not stand in the way?
Wait for it.
Look, we cannot dictate to another sovereign nation what they can and cannot do.
Can you just hit the pause
when
there?
They make a determination, if they make a determination, that they're existentially threatened, their survival is threatened by another country.
That is chilling. That last question and answer exchange there, where he said he was the reporter, the interviewer, was absolutely explicit. They don't get much more explicit than that. He said if Israel decides to take out Iran's nuclear installations militarily, the American government will not stand in the way of that. That was his direct question. And the direct answer was about as clear as it ever gets from a politician. The answer is no. The answer is yes to Israel. Yes to anything Israel wants to do. There will be no criticism. There will be no censure. And if you are existentially threatened, that's what you got to do. This is worse. This situation is worse than with Bush in power.
Well, that's right, folks.
But I think it was pre-planned.
All these people, you know, they go on about change and how Obama's going to change things. Obama. That's one guy, folks. One guy.
There's
a whole administration. There's a whole massive master of puppet masters above them that control. There's a whole industry around them.
Do you realize, listeners, that this language of war, this ramping up the threat and talking in this weasel words of what it can actually lead to, the actual physical reality on the ground, if Israel decides to do a military strike on Iran, what this will plunge the world into something far worse than what we've ever seen in our lifetimes, equally as bad as anything that happened in the 20th century. The consequences, and he should be saying at all costs, this must not occur.
Yeah, that's right.
And anyone with any shred of humanity or decency would know that even to talk this way is criminal, because what it would lead to if it actually occurred would be so unthinkable. It would lead to World War III. It would lead to the death of hundreds of millions of people. At a conservative estimate, if Israel attacks Iran, let's just be totally clear about it so we can't, you know, pretend later that we didn't know. If this happens, if Israel decides to launch a surgical strike, as they call it, on Iran, it will be the beginning of a world war that will kill hundreds and possibly billions of people on this planet.
Folks, to kind of quote Einstein, he said something like, I don't know how World War III will be fought, but I know that World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. And, you know, we as a people, as a breed, as a life form of this little planet we call planet Earth, floating out in space in this amazing magical blue marble of ours, only have one chance to make something good of it. If we blow that chance with the technology we have now, we can blow that chance so easily. The massive amount of firepower that we have in our hands now, in terms of biological weapons, chemical weapons, and nuclear weapons, are so great and awesome that it will destroy everything we love and cherish. And it is so important not to just take it lightly, to think that war is something that's like a computer game where you get another life, you get another chance, where, you know, it's not real people, it's not real women, not real children that are affected, that it's some script that someone's written. These governments, these entities, this mafia that controls nations at the moment are playing a very dangerous game with our tax dollars. And it is so abhorrent and despicable that it must churn every cell in your body to do anything you can to stop it peacefully. It is so important to be politically active and really dream that freedom can one day reign away from these sort of disgusting governments, whether they're dictatorial or not, it doesn't matter. Look at the language they're using. People going about democracy and freedom and how democracy is such an amazing thing. Look at the language they're using, folks. The language they're using right now. This is the vice president of the United States, of the Obama administration, who was noted to be this peace-loving black president who was going to change the world. And oh, I'm so tearful and beautiful. It's just beautiful. We've got a black president. He's going to change everything. And Bush was so bad. It does not matter. The left and the right are fake frauds, folks. And it's important to see that these fake frauds have got not only everybody's life, but all the animals and the, you know, if you're a real greenie out there, this is a true green atrocity. If there's a major war, a third world war, it will destroy millions and millions of species of animals. It will destroy humanity. It will destroy everything. And so I can't state enough how important it is to really be active in your life. Don't just turn on so you think they can dance. Don't just turn on the TV and watch and sit back and eat your pizza. Be active in some little way that you find virtuous. And you know, that's all I can say. It's so extraordinarily important, Harold.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is the movie review section of tonight's show, our last segment for the night. And you've been listening there to the theme music from a quite extraordinary film that I had a chance to watch on the weekend called The International. And I really highly recommend this film. And I don't often say that about thrillers, which this is. It's a dramatic and you'd say, you know, fairly mainstream style movie. Although I have to point out, it wasn't made in Hollywood. It was made in Europe, and the director is a German. His name is Tom Tykwer. He also produced and directed, I think co-wrote the film Perfume, which was came out a couple of years ago. The film is quite well made and quite unusual for the genre in a number of ways. I really, mainly, the thing I guess that's most important to focus on here is the way in which it deconstructs the relationship between the banking system and war, big business, and politics. And it makes a very strong case in the film, and a very quite a subversive argument in terms of the banking industry's involvement in international conflicts. The central thesis of the film is that there is a bank, and this is one particular bank, that is involved in basically funding and promoting wars all around the world, often by providing arms sales or even sometimes giving arms to proponents on different sides of conflicts. And the rationale behind why they do this is, of course, that it gives them control. And the main mechanism of control is debt. And as we all know, those of us who studied the financial system, that debt is the major mechanism of control that banks use on this planet. The film stars Clive Owen in a kind of a role that's very similar to a role he was in a couple of years ago, City of Men, I think it was titled. It was another quite interesting thriller about set in the future in which the world had become depopulated because women had become infertile. And he plays a really sort of quite a macho character, but he's sort of driven by principles. And he's actually, the character that he plays is an Interpol agent who is on the track of this bank, which is engaging in these nefarious deals. And he's sort of tracking them around the world. And the co-star of the film is Australian actress Naomi Watts. It's a really interesting film. It brings in a lot of themes of, for those of us who've studied false flag terrorism, the use of patsies. There's a very detailed scenario in the film in which an assassination is engineered so that it looks like it was done by one person when it was in fact done by another person, and all done for the purpose of changing policy and with heavy collusion from, you know, the corporate sphere. I think it's perhaps a little exaggerated. I think the roles of the bankers are probably more direct in this film than they would be in reality. But I think that in a way is good because it highlights something that I think a lot of people turn a blind eye to. And I'd like to, on that note, just play a section of the film which I've queued here. And this is where they actually get into explaining the principle of the way in which the banks control international conflicts. So if you could just roll it at that point, Josh, that would be great.
But why is the bank committing so much of its capital and resources to the sale of these missiles?
It's a test. Small arms are the only weapons used in 99% of the world's conflicts. And no one has the capacity to manufacture them faster and cheaper than China. What Skarsen is attempting to do is to make the IBBC the exclusive broker of Chinese small arms to the Third World. And the missile deal is the gateway transaction.
Yeah, but billions of dollars invested simply to be a broker. There can't be that much profit for them.
No, this is not about making profit from weapon sales. It's about control.
Control the flow of weapons, control the conflict.
No. No, no. The IBBC is a bank. Their objective isn't to control the conflict. It's to control the debt that the conflict produces. You see, the real value of a conflict, the true value, is in the debt that it creates. You control the debt, you control everything. You find this upsetting, yes? But this is the very essence of the banking industry. To make us all, whether we be nations or individuals, slaves to debt.
You sound like you're not very fond of the IBBC. What happened?
I was fond of André Clément.
You can probably pause it there.
Wow, that's very very pertinent.
It's very succinct, and the film has a lot of segments in it like that where it really gets into kind of an exposition of the system. And the section where the assassination occurs, again, it's almost like a lesson in understanding the way subterfuge is created, the way patsies are set up, the way in which everything is created as an illusion by those who have the power and the absolute power that comes from owning everything, from having basically the underlying framework of the monetary system. Well, of course, they can corrupt the legal system. They can corrupt the police. They can basically, they've got a finger in everything. They can create an alternate reality. And at the end of the film, and I won't spoil it for you, but the point is that what is demonstrated at the end of this film, and it's in this way not a typical Hollywood film, is that simply by eliminating individuals in a kind of Clint Eastwood Hollywood style is not going to work either. Because as one of the characters says in the film, he says, if you kill me, there'll be 100 more people just like me to take my place. And that is literally true. You can't fix this by killing people. We really have to change the way the system works.
That's right, folks. The way the system works. And that's a total rethink in philosophy. You know, it's people, great thinkers like Stefan Molyneux and Wes, I've forgotten his last name, but there really are some, you know, all the way to Socrates, you know, asking you to think and ponder yourself. Don't just trust the experts that are put on these talking boxes, you know, about how the system should work. It's about questioning and rebuilding the system. I quite frankly think that the only way we are going to change the system peacefully is to find a country somewhere that wants to have a whole new setup and just basically like-minded people all go move there all at once. And
how about Mars?
Oh yeah, well, Mars could be good. Air would be expensive.
Yeah. So all in all, I highly recommend this film. And I just have to say, I'm going to say something now which could get me in trouble.
Right, yeah, go. Well, that's never stopped us before.
Yeah, and but in a way, I'm throwing down the gauntlet here. I don't go to the video store anymore, folks. Now, let me tell you why. Okay, I used to go to the video store. I used to get videos out. But what I found over the last couple of years is that the videos that they actually provide in the video store don't work on my brand new Macintosh. And I asked them why after two or three times it wouldn't work. They said, oh, that's quite common. Videos from DVDs from DVD shops won't work in a computer. It'll only work on your television VCR player, DVD player, right?
Right.
And, well, I refuse to buy a television. I don't watch television.
Yeah.
And I refuse to buy a DVD player.
Yeah.
As I refuse to buy a television because they come together, right?
Yeah.
Now, since I decided to stop going to the video store, I found I can get pretty much whatever I need through BitTorrent. Now, as I said, this may lead me to getting into trouble. I say bring it on. And the reason why I'm saying that is I think that so far the industry has been persecuting people for downloading, and there has not been enough people standing up for the principle, the basic core principle which should be enshrined in law, that copying a file is not theft. Despite what they say on the DVD, when you get the DVD on from the video shop and it says, you know, downloading music is theft. Yeah. It is not. That's a complete lie. And I'm willing to go to court over this.
Well,
I'm willing to fight it. And I don't think they'll come after me because I think they know that someone who's intelligent, educated, and understands the principles could fight them on that single principle. They're calling it theft. It is not theft.
Well, it's not theft just like, you know, you have theft is when you have property, some sort of property. What it could be is fraud because you're getting an inferior, maybe. Look, it's, you know, it's like for instance, a knockoff Gucci handbag is a knockoff because it's a copy of one, but it's not the real thing.
There is a case for fraud in the case that I take a DVD, print it up, and go out and sell it as, you know, Universal Studios DVD.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
And I think there's a principle in there that's fair, that that should be...
But you know who should be attacking is the consumer who buys the fraud, thinking it's an original. Like if I buy some, some Adidas shoes and then I realize that they're fakes and I paid all that money for, I'd probably sue the whoever I bought it for fraudulent activity. So it's back to the consumer, you know, who should be peed off.
Look, when the motor car was invented, did people want to sue Ford Motors for violating the profits of horse owners?
Probably,
but, you know, utterly laughable, doesn't it?
No, it does.
A better technology came along which could do the same thing, was faster, and probably cheaper. What does that remind you of? A better technology has come along from the days when we used to have pressed vinyl records. We moved to laser CDs. We moved to purely digital storage in the form of MP3 files. Now we have distributed digital through BitTorrent and peer-to-peer networks. And you cannot... There is no commodity there that you can say that you can control. And that's why the only way they can try to criminalize the activity is by becoming increasingly fascistic about it, is basically taking on a fascist role of total authoritarian, you know, top-down control, censorship, filtering, monitoring, surveillance, invading your privacy.
And that is the end game, folks. I mean, really, at the end of the day, that is what they want. And using these sort of threats against BitTorrent copying, that's really what they want at the end of the day. They want to control the anarchic nature of the internet.
Let me give you a scenario, and this is not an unrealistic scenario. This could happen in 10, 20 years' time. You'll be able to put a chip in the back of your head, which could have every single song that's ever been composed on one chip. It might be like a terabyte of storage. Stick it in the back of your head. You'll be able to listen to any song you ever want to listen to without even headphones, and you'll be able to upload or download to another person.
Yeah.
Sitting across.
Hey, have a listen to this.
Sitting across from another person in a cafe.
Yeah.
Oh, let's swap a couple of songs. Mm. They would criminalize that. Do you realize how ridiculous it is? With the evolution of technology, new possibilities come. They want to restrict and criminalize the evolution of human society and technology. It's absurd.
No,
they cannot win either.
No.
We just have to realize that we've been fooled, you know.
Mm.
And these ridiculous ads that call it theft, you know, you wouldn't, you know, what everyone's watched the videos and they've got that sort of, you know, cameo thing at the beginning. You wouldn't steal a handbag. You wouldn't steal, a pen. You wouldn't steal a DVD.
Now, stealing, then, because you're actually taking a handbag off someone else who's then missing it. Where's my handbag? When you're copying something, you're taking a clone of it.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything.
Yeah, imagine if they said that. You wouldn't clone something.
Look, it's a massive topic, and we'll get into it another day. We did touch it on it last week as well, but I think it's a very complex topic to deconstruct because there are so many preconceptions of how industry, how will the actors make their money, and how will music make its money. Well, you know, like I said last week, music industry profits have skyrocketed. They're still going up.
I just want to point out that all the films I review are going to be downloaded through BitTorrent. Now, I also want to point out that if there was a cheap, and I mean reasonably priced option for downloading films and audio that wasn't crippled or cobbled so that you couldn't, you know, on copy it and stuff like that, I'd be onto that in a second.
Yeah.
If it was like a couple of dollars, and it shouldn't be any more than a couple of dollars.
No, I mean, there's, you know, billions of people on the planet.
I would
and
say...
they all want to watch movies and be entertained. Why should it be more than, you know, a couple of bucks?
Yeah, I would say even, you know, for a CD, $2, possibly for a movie, $4, you know, tops, though. That's really, I would consider paying that because I know I'd get a high quality.
Yeah.
I know it's reliable. Mm-hmm. I know it would have the subtitles. A lot of the stuff you get through BitTorrent is unreliable. Well, sometimes it's good quality, sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it's cammed.
Sometimes it doesn't have the subtitles when you need the subtitles if it's a foreign movie. Or sometimes it has the subtitles burned into it, which you don't want. And that's just because it's being done by people at home. It's being done by volunteers. And they should not be persecuted, right? Because they're just doing a volunteer thing.
No, that's right.
And neither should the people who are downloading it.
Look, Steve Jobs proved your concept there with iTunes. I mean, Napster came along. Everyone was copying everything. There was a field day. I mean, the amount of music. And I, for the first time in my life, I became interested in music again. Because I'd sort of lost interest. My whole family are musicians, and I was focused on graphic arts, you know, and I'd lost interest in, and Napster really opened my world up again because I was exploring new songs because CDs were just too expensive. I mean, $30 for a CD.
That is criminal. That is 30 to 40.
Yeah.
That's theft.
The market didn't want to pay it anymore. When this new technology came around, it was like, hey, let's do it. And you know, I mean, the movie industry tried to shut down VCRs when they first came out.
Of course,
you know,
they
wanted to shut down VCRs. There was a massive court case over it. They didn't win. Look,
if they thought they could stop you from having a sing-along around the piano, they'd do that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you're not allowed to actually copy written music either. You know, you're not allowed to copy notations and give it to your friend. Look, the point of the matter is Steve Jobs has proven this, that iTunes, he got it down to $1.99 and 99 cents per song. And he's now to the point where they've gotten rid of the restrictions. You know, they have said, oh, yeah, well, it's 50 cents more for the one without DRM or whatever it's called.
I think that's still too expensive because if you want to get a whole album's worth, it's still going to be costing you around $20.
No, it's ridiculous because there's no packaging.
It's still way too expensive. Per song, it needs to be like 5 cents. I mean, it's just, the profit margin is there. It's totally wrong to say they have to charge that.
No.
Absolutely,
I mean,
not.
You're absolutely correct. And, you know, by charging 5 cents, there would be bigger profits because, frankly, I haven't actually bought anything from iTunes.
No, well, you don't want to.
Because it's still too expensive.
You don't want to pay $2 for a song. I mean, come on. You don't want to do that.
No. And, I mean...
$2 for a whole CD, yeah.
I have bought an application, an iPhone application, I said.
Sure.
But I haven't, maybe I did buy it. I think, a friend of mine gave me a coupon for my birthday. Anyway, it's about micropayments. And, you know, a lot of these banking institutions have really fought hard to stop micropayments going. Micropayments are payments of 1 cent, 5 cents, half a cent, you know.
Yeah.
These are micropayments and people have struggled with these sort of concepts. PayPal could have easily done it. They still haven't.
Can I give you an example of how ridiculous the whole thing is?
Give it to me.
I bought a DVD recently because I wanted to own it. And I actually paid quite a bit of money to order it. And it's scratched. It's a brand new DVD.
Nice.
And I couldn't play it. So what I did? I didn't want to send it back and wait another month or 2 months and then have to prove that I hadn't scratched it myself.
Yeah. What did you do?
You know,
downloaded it.
Well, of course I did.
Yeah.
It was the quickest way for me to get it. You know, I found the same thing I was looking for in a high quality ISO version.
Yeah.
And I downloaded it. So, you know, when I say to you I'm downloading through BitTorrent, that doesn't mean I'm not also buying the DVDs, folks.
Yeah.
Don't listen to my actual words, okay? Yeah. And don't read into it.
Right.
But if there are some Stasis listening to this who want to have a go at me and want to take me to court, bring it on.
Oh, look.
If folks, the Stasi is listening to this and they think, okay, we've got him, I'll have the last laugh at you, mate. Believe me. Because I'll take you on. I've got lawyers. I've got barristers who'll take you on. And you'll lose.
It's not only that. It's this ridiculous notion that you're going to keep buying the same thing over and over. I bought the Thriller album on vinyl. Fantastic album. Quincy Jones. Legendary, you know, producer. Michael Jackson's album. And then the tape came out. Oh, I had to buy it again on tape, didn't I? Because, you know, everyone was throwing their record players out. And then the mini disc came out. And, oh, you know, what am I going to buy it on that now? And then the CD first, then the mini disc, then, you know, now the Blu-ray's coming out. And I mean, it's this constant battle of upgrades and this and that, and which format's going to win? Is Blu-ray going to be the next? Or, you know, stuff it. I'm sick and tired of playing their games. I just want the song that I've paid for three times, and I'm going to download it if I've lost it, or if I've moved, or if I don't, you know, if I don't want to keep, you know, all this real estate pegged up in my house full of, you know, stuff. And I know I can just put it, have it on my machine, on one hard drive. Absolutely. It just makes sense, folks. And
look, we're going to have to wind up, folks.
There's a whole topic there and it's coming.
Look, can we go out with that theme music from The International? Because I really love that music. Just bump this volume right up. Just rewind it. Start again. Rewind it to the beginning. It's a beautiful track.
All right, folks. Remember to leave comments on the truthnews.com.au site. We've got a Twitter feed. Please subscribe.
Absolutely.
To tweet us. We send out some amazing news as it happens. Stay up to date. We're also, I'd like to also thank one of our listeners for donating a mixing desk to us all the way from Perth. That was very, very nice of them to send that through. I won't say their name on air because I don't know if they want anonymity or not. But very, very kind gentleman, and had some fantastic things to say in an email as well. Sorry we can't get back to every email. We literally are so busy in our day-to-day lives. But please leave comments so other people can get back to you. Because we're a hive mind of many people, and we all have opinions. Again, truthnews.com.au, and the Twitter feed is twitter.com/truthnewsoz, O-Z. So it's truthnewsoz. From all of us here, Truth News, good night.
Good night from me too.